Today on Real Radio.
It was announced on the news first hour, and then it was covered up, never said again. FBI then posted it, then it was taken back. You don't win unless you take off the head of the leader. We don't understand that. The United States calls, we literally tell people in advance, we're going to attack you at 2 minutes after 12 midnight. Look, I'm telling you the truth. We always tell them when we're coming. We don't want anybody to get hurt. Sometimes the things that damage need to be removed. And here you see Gideon removing these guys.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. We're in a presentation that's taken from chapter 7. Chapter 7 is the fascinating account of Gideon's army and how they were reduced to just 300 men by the God of Israel. And then, of course, there was the battle. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called How to Win a War.
If you step out in faith, doesn't he meet you at the next level? He always wants us to make the next step, doesn't he? He never reveals to us the full plan until we take the first step. See, us guys, we want the whole thing laid out. God doesn't do that. God, I want GPS, and I want it right here, right now. That's what Moses and Abraham probably said. I want GPS. I want to know where this is hanging, and I want to know how long it's going to take me. God doesn't deal like that. God says, step out here now. I'm wondering maybe, and you can fault me all you want, I just like this version better, that they responded in faith as they moved, and as they went through that, as they blew the trumpets, somehow I personally believe that when they blew the trumpets, but before they broke the pitchers, I think God lit those torches. Just because it glorifies them even more. Can't prove it, doesn't really matter. But interesting, the absence of scripture does not say if and when they lit them. Then they pull those torches out. You know what's cool about this? Isn't it awesome that with a few people, God's going to bring about a victory? It's always that way. God will always bring about the victory with few people. Always with a few people. That's how he gets the honor and the glory. But what I love about this, doesn't the Bible say in Corinthians that we have this, the gospel, in our lives, in our hearts, in earthen vessels? Like pots? Didn't Jesus say in Matthew 5, let your light so shine before men? By the way, that's generic. That's all men, unbelievers, all of them, mankind. So that when they see your good works, they'll glorify your Father, which is in heaven. There's going to be a day, it's going to be amazing, that the unbeliever is going to glorify your witness before God. They might say, I hated that guy. He prayed for me all the time. That's going to bring glory to God. The Bible says that he takes the wrath of man to praise his name. Go figure. Amazing. But we're kind of like these pots. And we're kind of like the torches. And we're kind of like the trumpets. And we're kind of like his soldiers. We're kind of like Gideon. It's amazing. I love this. And so we're to shine before an unbelieving world. Also, make sure that we're a soldier of faith in this by always being faithful. Oh, this is something that's lost, and it needs to be revived. Verse 21, and every man stood in his place. Will you mark that in your Bible? Stood in his place. All around the camp. That's what Gideon told him to do. Stand there, and just do this stuff. Blow the trumpets, break the pots, hold the torch. He didn't say run towards them and scream your head off. He didn't, nothing else. Stand there. And the whole army, the enemy army, ran and cried out and fled. Fear was all over them. And when the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the entire camp. You guys, you know what that means? As they jumped up, the enemy jumps up, they're freaking out. They're hearing the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. Somebody that had that donut dream with the thing rolling down the hill. I told you! You guys were laughing at my loaf of bread vision. It's happening. They all start freaking out and it's dark. They pull their sword in the confusion. They start, you know, when you wake somebody up and they start, what? They get up, they're swinging their swords, they're cutting each other up, their own troops. Wow, that's radical. Shouldn't surprise us. The Bible tells us in Ezekiel chapter 36, 37, and 38 that in the not too distant future, I believe in the not too distant our future, that great Russian Islamic coalition that's mentioned there in Ezekiel by name, names the countries. They're all Islamic nations that group with Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal and its leader Gog, G-O-G. Read it later. It's amazing. They will come against Israel. And they're going to think that it's, listen, not only are they going to think it's absolute annihilation for Israel in the scriptures, but no other nation of the world comes to Israel's aid, including the United States. And the Bible says God will draw that coalition into the mountains of Israel, and there he will cause their weapons to come upon them. Can you imagine launching a rocket and it comes right back on your head? Hey, look, let's send this one to Tel Aviv. Light it, Fred. Oh, man. It's going to come right back. Can you imagine? Watch, it's going to happen. It will happen. There's going to be Russian MiGs. There's already Russian MiGs there right now. We already know that. They're going to launch a rocket. They're going to launch a missile from the MiG. It's going to go right back. Imagine. God says, I'm going to take care of it. They will fall dead on the mountains of Israel. They're not going to make it in to the populated areas. Read Ezekiel 36, 37, 38, tonight before bed. It's awesome. I email my friends. They email me back in Israel. Read Ezekiel 38, 39. Anytime now, Ezekiel 38, 39. It's amazing. God's word never fails, never has, never will. He's amazing. He's faithful. We can be faithful because he's faithful. They were just to stand in place. You know, the Bible tells us that we're to stand in place. What does faithfulness look like? Sometimes, listen, just stand there sometimes. That's what God wants us, just stand there. Sometimes you get so battered, so beaten as a Christian, you get so tired. Listen, don't go backwards, but sometimes you just have to just bed down and stand there until you're revived. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18 tells us, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenlies. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Stand. They were to stand, and so they stood. This is a great thing. And by the way, I want to encourage you. If you're thinking, Jack, I'm just holding on for my life. Listen, Christian. If you're in the middle of God's will and you're just standing there, that's the best place to be. I'd rather be standing in the middle of God's will than to be running out of his will. You get a bloody nose when you run outside his will. You hit the wall on your own. It hurts. Making sure you're a soldier of faith in this by always being an encourager, always encouraging others. Be encouraging to others. And the men of Israel gathered together, verse 23, from Naphtali, Asher, and Manasseh, and they pursued the Midianites. This is great. You want to know why? These guys weren't involved before. They're like, what's going on? The 300 are victorious. Really? Now they all want to sign up. Victory does that in the hearts of people. I mean, what's cool about this? Nowhere in the Bible does it say, and the other, those who were losers decided to sign up after the big stuff happened. It doesn't say that all the cowards who went home when the 300 exercised faith, they finally got with the program. No. You know what? They got encouraged. There's no sin sniffing and fault finding. It just says the rest of the clan woke up and said, hey, wow, isn't that cool? I think it's beautiful. We need this today. We need this as a church. We need this as a people. Don't we need this as a nation to be encouraged? We are so defeated. I don't know about you, but if we let the media run the show, it's over. And it gives me great pain. Some of you think I delight in this. It gives me great pains to tell you that we have not won a war since World War II. Some of you are going to say, Korea, that was a draw. All the lines went right back to where it was before it started. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to Brigitte Gabriel last week. It was Sunday. She spoke to the U.S. military. It was on C-SPAN. And I was 3,000 miles away sitting in the comfort and protection of my living room, and I started to duck with some of the stuff she was saying. It was right on the money, but nobody wants to hear it. And here's this little five-foot thing telling these commanders what they should do. And she said it straight up. She says, America's got all the guns and toys and bells and whistles to blow up anything and anybody anywhere. But America ain't got the guts or the will. And that is absolutely true. Oh, no, no, our troops are the best. It's the politicians that get in the way. If you leave those boys in their pretend little offices with their pretend little power and let the guys do and the girls do what they've been trained to do, this thing would be over in a month. But we don't leave them alone. And unfortunately, we as a nation need to be encouraged in the right places. We should always be encouraging. Those people are there fighting the enemy, so we don't fight them here. And here's what's happened. This is my assessment. I'll probably get shot for this. They're over there fighting for us so that you don't have to fight your enemy in your front lawn. Hope you understand that. Unfortunately, while they have been over there risking their lives for us so we don't have to fight the enemy in our front lawn, our politicians have almost installed the enemy on our front lawn. It's the politicians that have committed treason against our Constitution and against your protection, while our precious troops are protecting us for some bizarre reason, which may very well be the very judgment of God upon this nation. Our politicians have put you and I in the most vulnerable condition we have ever been in since George Washington liberated this place from the English. It's a very dangerous time. We need encouragement. And I'll give you some encouragement. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Yeah, but what about Congress? All things work together for good to those who love God, even in the face of Congress. What about the president, his administration? All things work together. Look, the answer's not in the White House. It's certainly not in Congress. The answer is in God's house. As long as the Bible's open, the answer is in God. That's where it's at. Listen, for the scripture says, whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Those who called, he justified. Those he justified, he glorified. And what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Well, a lot of people can, but it doesn't matter. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? As it is written, for your sakes we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, that's what America needs to be, is persuaded, that neither death nor life, nor angel, principality or power, nor anything present, thing to come, nor height, depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. That should be our theme for living today. No doubt about it. And so I'll leave with this. Gideon goes against all odds. We don't know, but if people might have been saying, those poor people, 300 of them, look, they're all going to go die, and Gideon's going to lead them into death. That was probably going on. We don't know. But they went because God led them. And the scripture goes on here to say, and we'll wrap this up in a matter of moments, verses 24 to 25, how to win a war, make sure you're fighting to win. Gideon and those guys did what God told them to do. In this case, they were to stand still and they were to do these things, blow the trumpet, break the pots, and hold the torches. But listen, in a sense, there's the need to take back those things that are lost. It says in verse 24, then Gideon sent the messengers throughout the mountains of Ephraim. That's the guys that stayed home, or the guys that went home scared. He said, come on down. We need you to clean up. We need you to help us mop up. Also, all the men of Ephraim gathered together and they seized control of the watering places once again. That's the, in a sense, they seized their economy. They took their economy back. You can't have sheep and crops without water. They got moving again. We need that. We need to take back that which was lost. In Isaiah 58:12, the scripture says, and those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. We need that today, don't we? You will raise up the old, age-old foundations, and you will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets in which you dwell. Don't we need that today? We need that today. To take back the things that have been lost. Lost by neglect, I don't know. Lost by stupidity. Lost by putting it in the control of the hands of people who don't care. I don't know. But then we end right here. Removing those things that cause damage. This is radical. Make sure you're fighting to win. Take back those things that have been lost. Gideon's going to do that. We need to do that as a nation. And removing those things that cause damage. And they captured the two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb. And I know this doesn't go down well. Let me explain. They caught them. They took them to their predestined spots that were fit for them. They beheaded them both. You say, that's pretty grotesque. Yes, it is grotesque. It's an ancient form in the Middle East to announce that the kingdom is over. There can still be 10,000 people living of that kingdom. But when you behead the king in the Middle East, it's over. It's over. Remember when King David, when he was a little boy, what did he do? Didn't the Philistines look to Goliath to be their victor? David didn't take on the whole army. What did he do? He took on their symbol of absolute victory. And what did David do? He beheaded him. That's radical. We don't get that in the West. Remember when the Philistines captured King Saul of Israel? What did they do to him? Cut off his head. Even if the guy's dead, they still cut off his head. That's the Middle East. That's the way they think. They think like that to this day. That's what they do. Isn't it bizarre that you and I live in the 21st century and there's a ancient resurrection practice of beheading? Don't ask me this later. I'm not allowed to tell you. I'm not allowed to tell you. I got in trouble once. I'm not going to get in trouble again. I'll just say this. On September 11th, it's very well orchestrated. Not all the stuff that was planned happened, but enough obviously happened. They were attempting to behead our economy. Where do you think they struck when they wanted to behead the economy? The World Trade Centers. Their attempt was to behead our military. You don't have to take on the whole military in the Islamic world to win. You have to take on the U.S. military, plus you lose. What do you do? Where did they strike to behead the military? Pentagon. Remember Shanksville, where that flight went down in the field because, thank God, there were heroes all aboard that plane? Wrestled it out of the hands of those wackos? They know for a fact that that plane was not going to the White House. They were definitely not going to strike the White House that day. That's a known fact. Where was it going to go? Yes, to the Capitol building. And the fourth attack, and this is what I got in trouble for. I'm not going to say it because I got in trouble. The fourth attack was being executed against the president in Florida that day. It failed. Actually, we failed it. It was announced on the news first hour, and then it was covered up, never said again. FBI then posted it, then it was taken back. You don't win unless you take off the head of the leader. We don't understand that. The United States calls, we literally tell people in advance, we're going to attack you at 2 minutes after 12 midnight. Look, I'm telling you the truth. We always tell them when we're coming. We don't want anybody to get hurt. Sometimes the things that damage need to be removed. And here you see Gideon removing these guys. Now, I'm not endorsing beheading. That's insane. That's insane. But I will say this, that until Jesus Christ comes back, why do you think we want the Prince of Peace to return? Why? Because you know what? In the insanity of this world, there's going to be wars and fighting. It's sad, isn't it? But that's the way that it is. And you should never go looking for a fight. But if somebody wants to fight, I'm talking about nations. Don't go out and fight here. Gee whiz. Talking about countries. On September 11th, somebody picked a fight. And put yourself in Gideon's shoes. For 7 years, somebody had destroyed that country, that nation. And God had called him to fix that. None of us in this room, none of us know the ins and outs of what should have been done and what has been done regarding Afghanistan or Iraq or what's coming up next. Only God knows. But I know this. I've read the book. And those who trust in the Lord, they win in the end. And cults are going to come and go no matter how big they are. But our God will last forever. And so tonight, do you know him? It's the same God that Gideon trusted. And do you know him? I hope God has been stirring your heart, that you just look around this world and say, it is nuts out there. This world is crazy. The Lord is your hope.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called How to Win a War, taken from the book of Judges, chapter 7. Currently, Pastor Jack is also teaching a series called Life and the Bible. It's taken from many parts of Scripture that contain practical wisdom on how to live and deal with the issues we experience in everyday life. So far, we've offered some of the DVDs in this series, Being a Christian in Your Relationships, Being a Christian at Your Job, and so forth. Well, now we're offering Being a Christian in Your Home. And for a gift of any amount, in support of Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's message on DVD called Being a Christian in Your Home. It's part of the series called Life and the Bible. Whether you call, click, or write, be sure and mention it by title, Being a Christian in Your Home. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And you can always visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.